Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and I love Him. I thank God that He's mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And all the times He blessed me throughout my life, He was moving by the Holy Spirit. Every question I had, every answer I desired, and everything that He helped me to do and understand. And I like to understand things. I like a peaceable life, and I like a life that works. And if something's not working, I want to know why. Being a mechanic, success don't come easy, because mechanics are in a situation where the factories are in competition with each other. And they want their ideas to themselves, and they make a good product, but they don't want people to, they want people to bring their cars and their trucks back to them for service. So they do funny things sometimes. When they publish information, we never have a factory manual. There's a manual for the dealerships, and then there's one for that people can buy. And if you get the factory manual, you got to pay for it. And each one costs, used to when they had books, it was like $400 per type of vehicle. And now you can go on the online, and they make a fortune off mechanic shops. Nevertheless, to show the difficulty in mechanics, and I'm going somewhere with it. We know how things work, but we get used to how they hide things. They hide relays, they hide circuits. They don't publish the full circuit. So you have to be wise in how you do. And knowing how something works, then you can repair it better. Now, life is the same way. If we understand how life works, we can organize our life better. And my parents gave me hope, because they didn't realize it, but they were just going about their daily routine. But they loved each other, and they were working the Bible. They were doing what the Word said do. Now, they didn't know about speaking confessions of faith. I didn't hear them doing that, but they said they would tell you don't call anybody a fool. They tell you to do what's moral. But guess what? What's moral works. And they prayed for things that they desired. But they didn't. It's not like it was different than how people do at a church where they teach faith, which is great. That when men started learning how to apply faith, that was a graduation for the whole church, not just a part of the body. But nevertheless, my parents were older when I was born. They had went through most of their storms, and they were in ministry, so I benefited from their insight, and it gave me hope that there was a better life. But I wanted to understand the Lord and understand how things work and how things got to be to how things got to the way they are at this point when I was a child. These were questions I had when I started talking. I wanted to know how things work. So when I learned that I could have a relationship with the Lord and the Holy Ghost would guide me in all truth, I was elated, because I loved talking to the Lord about how things and finding out. And I desired a relationship so I could find out how things work. But what the Lord has me to deal with today, He said, if you draw near to me in James, I'll draw near to you. But He resists the proud, and He gives grace to the humble. We're going to see that in the scriptures. Now, to those who love God, and a lot of things have been taught, knowledge has increased, just like Daniel prophesied it would. Well, if you have success in the Lord, that's a bonus. We are complete in Christ. Everything that goes right in your life, consider it a bonus. a blessing, a product of doing God's word. And but we're complete in Christ, and we live by our faith. We graduate by faith. We go forward by faith, and our lives it becomes biblically promoted when you live by the living love of God. And nothing points this out better to me than what Jesus said. See, this is the first mention of the heart of God to man. Now, we saw the first mention is when God told Adam to be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it. But guess what? That was only one man and one woman in those days. Then we had conscious knowledge, then the law, and then a few miracles here and there. But people were not trained about loving their brother. Adam was full of love. God didn't have to teach him to love people. But listen to what Jesus said when the word became flesh. When I first got saved, since I saw that the word became flesh and dwelt among men, I said, well, let me go and start what Jesus taught. And he began, this is his first sermon, Matthew chapter 5. This is the first public sermon that he preached. And it's affectionately known as the Beatitudes. Chapter 5, verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now remember, he's talking to disciples, people that want to know right, people that want to know God, people that want to do right. This is the caliber of people he's talking to. And the Lord always gives grace to the humble. And some people think that being humble is stupid. And I've seen Christians that act like if you're humble, you're stupid. And they act arrogant, proud. And they may love their brother, but being humble is stupid. And, you know, I use the word stupid because it gets your attention. You know, when you think something stupid, you don't do it. You know, when Mr. Austin said that the Lord he told me what the Lord told him, that when that storm was coming, he said, you have the faith to rebuke that storm. And I wouldn't have tried to, in those days, I would not have tried to rebuke a storm. I may have, but after he said that the Lord told him that he had the faith to stop the storm that was coming toward Washington, D.C. from the ocean in those days. When he said that, I stopped thinking it was stupid to try. And I began to rebuke wind, and it works. Now, the wind, the storms, the tornadoes, the hailstorms, they will obey your voice. And after I stopped thinking it was stupid, then, and you know, I wouldn't have said I thought it was stupid, but I wouldn't do it. I didn't think I could do it. So obviously I thought it was stupid to attempt to try it. But when you have faith for something, it's not stupid. You are taking your authority. If God gave you authority, it doesn't matter what man believes. And people set the pace and acted like you don't do that. But when he said it, it broke the ice for me. Now, and a lot of ice was broken along the course of my life as I yielded to the Holy Ghost. Now, see, you can't reason with people that's unreasonable. And you can't teach people that's proud and hard-hearted. That won't work. And the Lord never did. You'll never, ever in the Word of God see God training a hard-headed man or woman. It was always people that were humble. Always. 100% of the time. Now, some people went crazy and they got in pride. Then they wouldn't listen anymore. They never listened after they got in pride. Unless they repented and broke like David did when he, after the Bathsheba incident. He broke his heart before the Lord, and the Lord was able to work with him. He humbled himself. But Saul didn't humble himself. He died. He died at the hands. He died begging an Amalekite of all people to kill him, so that the Philistine king wouldn't make fun of him. But he still took his head and nailed it in that Sarah temple. Now Jesus is talking to his disciples. Verse 2 says, "And he opened his mouth and taught them, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.'" I want to pause right there. The pure in heart, the humble, they understand when others can't. Because they're, and you know, proud people think you're stupid if you're pure in heart and humble and love God. If you're merciful, they think you're crazy. And so what does that tell you, what they think about God? If they think that people that's doing the heart of his will is stupid, they're living a life in disagreement. And they don't get it. They think that the culture around them, you know, they've given approval to the culture around them, which is demonic. He said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." No matter what people say and do, the peacemakers will be called the children of God. These are people that break through. They broke the people that do these beatitudes. They are the kind of people that break through the course of this world. And they're going to land on their feet and walk upright. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Persecuted for righteousness' sake. Why would a righteous person be persecuted in the first place? When you're surrounded by proud people, persecution is a way of life. "Blessed are ye when men revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." And all these kind of things have happened in my life. I know how it is to deal with people that's arrogant. Let's see, let's count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. He made 9 blessed statements. Then he said, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Then he said, "Ye are the salt of the earth." He's talking to disciples that were receiving the heart of God's will for man. This will always be the heart of God's will. This is not the law. This goes far beyond the law. And we're going to see in a moment how it is so. He said, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? What good is it? It is this forth good for nothing, but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. It will work as roundup and keep weeds from growing." And I thank God for little Jim. He brought that point across several years ago. Now, verse 14, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." If you choose to govern your life and be humble to God and love people that don't love you and love people that revile you, you're going to be like a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. If you're walking in the light of what Jesus is saying right here in the Beatitudes, if you have this for a foundation, all things are possible to those who believe. Because this is the kind of person that truly believes. He said, "Ye are a light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know, sometimes people think that possessions will do this. If people see you blessed, if people see you blessed, and this is how you've been living your, governing your life by the living love of God, and then you get blessed, it's a testimony. But if you've been sneaking around, tricking people to give and help you and coercing people, and you get blessed, people see it for what it is. And so does God. If you do what's right and you live a foundational life of love, and you know, people, there are pastors out there that love the flock. They love God's people, and they work, they do the work of the ministry. They are laborers. They spend time with the people. And they teach them. They teach them, and then they encourage them. They go before the Lord in prayer and find out what people are capable of and encourage it. When you can try to encourage people, but people only go so far. They stop where they doubt. And a lot of people don't understand the anointing and what it came to do. If God anoint you, you have an ability. You have God's ability in a specific area. And you have to keep that anointing on by operating by living the life of the Beatitudes, by being humble, having pure love for people. If you love people and you desire to help them, and you get excited about what God can do, and you know that God is with you, and you make yourself available to help others. Now, that don't mean you won't be able to talk to everybody you see and every need. But if you spend time in the Word and in prayer, the Lord will guide you to people. Sometimes more than not, He'll guide you to people that you can help. People that are sick. There are people that go out and witness. There are people that God has given assignments to. But whatever God give you to do, do it. And He'll be with you and back you up. For some, it's teaching. For some, it's healing the sick. For some, it's prophesying. Whatever it is God has given you to do, activate that anointing. I'm reminded of a man that he was following God, doing many revivals. Then he stopped and took a break. And then he got used to a regular lifestyle. He wasn't active anymore with his anointing. And then when he went back to do revivals, he was rusty. Now, if you follow God, God will give you a season of training. This is how I'm saying this from experience. He gave me a season of training. Then he commissioned me to go and do some things. Then he gave me a season of rest. Now, in the season of rest, I prayed and I asked God for all the things that I needed to understand, more so. But then when he started training me, my attention was on the training. When people get burnt out, you can get sick in your body. You don't need to get burnt out. We need to keep our hearts full of the Word of God. A healthy prayer life and a healthy relationship will help you do that, and it'll keep you from when you have a strong relationship, you learn not to do it in your strength. You learn to always do ministry in His strength, and the way you do that is by the Word and by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. See, I have to pay attention. I can't just go and give information. I have to be guided by the Holy Spirit. Some people, a word out of season won't work like a word in season will. And sometimes people, you know, what they're going through, some knowledge won't help them like it will in the right season. And I don't know when the right season is, but when I'm around people that love God, I just yield to the Holy Spirit. But this is something that I also run into. There are men of God that I thought they would love the things of God, and I will openly share it. Now, this was years ago, and they get offended, and I could sense it. I've sensed all kind of things. I've sensed, I didn't understand it because I thought that to the pure, everybody's pure. I thought that they were like me. And the Lord had to teach me, they're not like you. And that was a hard pill to swallow. I had to pay attention to the Holy Spirit. Some people still have Cain jealousy. And they're not like, you know, when you look at the Beatitudes, when it says, when Jesus started, blessed are the pure, poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. An arrogant man is not poor in spirit. He's going to tell you how good he is and how wonderful he is and how he can do this and do that. And I've been around Pentecostal people. They talk against denomination. They used to. It's better now, but they feel like the Baptist people or Methodist people are less educated in the things of God. But see, when a brother's caught in a situation, our heart is to help him out and be the light. But I've learned things from people that disagree with me. Everybody has a voice and a testimony. And they may not understand it like you understand it. Like I was saying earlier, my parents didn't go around and rebuking things and confessing things by faith, but they lived a godly life. I learned so much. And when I went to church and I was so enthused about what I was learning, I would come home and tell them. They understood. But they understood things differently. And they were my foundation. Now, when the things that were untrue, you know, I went to a church saying, if you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues, you're not even saved. Well, guess what? Guess how I found out that was an error? I had to preach at my daddy's church. I said, I'm going to see what kind of message he give me. I'm not going to be biased. I'm just going to yield to the Lord. And he gave me a message saying there's more about God we must understand. But he talked to the people like they were his. And I said, I'm on to something. There are things that I've been taught that's not right. He addressed the people as if they were his. And I started paying attention. And years later, I started noticing there were Baptist preachers that preached like they were, you know, I thought they were secret tongue talkers because they were so profound in their word and accurate. And I said, they must be secret tongue talkers or something because they preach like they're full of the Holy Ghost. And I did a radio, and I didn't tell anybody. I just watched. Sometimes you can learn a lot by watching. I said, Lord, teach me about this. And one day I did a broadcast with my pastor, and he talked about the Holy Spirit within, because when Jesus appeared to his disciples, before he told them to wait, that was a different time. See, he appeared to them, but he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Then they went and waited and tarried, like Jesus said. And on the day of Pentecost, they were baptized in the Holy Ghost. But Pastor McCann pointed out, so you have to listen. Sometimes people can help you. They can answer your most curious questions if you just pay attention to the Holy Spirit. He breathed on them. They had the Holy Spirit within for life, a well of living water, like Jesus told them. The woman at the well, the Samaritan, the woman of Samaria. He said, if you drink the water I give you, it'll be a well of living water, springing up into everlasting life. You'll never thirst again. That's the Holy Spirit within. That's for your training. That's for your personal guide. Then he told him to wait till you be endued with the power from on high. That's rivers of living water. See, that's dunamis power. That's like what the prophets of old had. They had the Holy Spirit upon only. They didn't have the Holy Spirit within. In Acts, some people they looked at having the Holy Spirit upon, and they didn't. You know, they never made the connection. I didn't, but my pastor pointed it out. So, see, when iron sharpens iron, prophets are subject to prophets. It's just the way it is. It's not like, and God called me to be an apostle. That doesn't mean I'm better than anybody, than any child of God. I just got an assignment that they don't, that they may not have. But whatever I do by faith is just like I do it as a believer. Whatever I do according to the office, the Lord, he trains me for my office and help me do it. But that don't mean that I don't have to listen to pastors. That's stupid. If you think that, well, I'm above them. Okay, if you're above them, then you know you're not making mistakes. And you know all things. But guess what? We don't know all things. There's a lot of things I don't know. And just, you know, when you're an apostle or a pastor or a prophet or an evangelist, you still don't know everything. And somebody may just be, they may just get called to teach. They're in the fivefold ministry. They get called to teach. And they have a word. And it will astonish you. Because their anointing to teach can be just as astonishing as a seasoned apostle. Because it all comes from the Holy Ghost anyway. And there's so many concepts to learn. Proud people, they say, well, I don't have to listen to them. I've already been there and done that. And they always mess up. But those that love God and seek out the truth, he's going to give it to you. And he'll choose to use who he will. And I'm going to be honest with you. I've been blessed by a lot of people that's not even called to the ministry. They have said things that stuck and helped me. And I can receive it because when you're humble to God, you're listening for him. He wants to talk. And he likes to talk. And I like to learn. And it's not stupid to learn. But a proud man can't do these things. And I'm saying this because I know the Lord, he will not build on arrogance and pride, people that want to be preeminent. And I know so many people that's been hurt by such things. This is why I'm doing the broadcast. The lack of training. Sometimes people won't even listen to God. They won't let God train them. They might even use the scripture in a sermon. If the Lord don't build a house, they labor in vain. Then they go and try to build a house without him. And opposite to what God told them in their heart. And then God can't. See, ministry is a process. And it's if you continue to operate your relationship with God based on what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. Blessed are the meek, they shall inherit the earth. Your arms are stretched open to God. And you're desiring his word and you're receptive. Every time Jesus spoke to these people, the people of this caliber, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, they shall obtain mercy. Their life is always operating. They are always growing. They are continually growing. A baby starts out as a cell and it doubles all throughout the whole term of the pregnancy. It's always growing. That baby is always growing. In 9 months, they are ready to come out and breathe air.